AshevilleFM.org, soon to be WSFM, 103.3 LPFM in Asheville, North Carolina. This is The Final Straw, and I'm Bursts. The show can also be heard on the KWTF in Bodega Bay and KXCF in Marshall, California, as well as KOWALP in Olympia, Washington, and WCRSLP in Columbus, Ohio. Archives of the show can be found at our website at thefinalstrawradio.noblogs.org, and we can be reached at thefinalstrawradio@riseup.net. This week's episode features an interview with Hanna from Mostar and Sarajevo in Bosnia about the unrest that occurred in Bosnia a few months past. This interview was produced by Cirna Luknja, excuse my pronunciation, but it translates to Black Hole. It's an audio project that occasionally produces in English audio and appears to be out of Slovenia. More by them can be found by searching CRNA LUKNJA on the website radiostudent.si. This is Burst reading a statement by anarchist prisoner Sean Swain, since he's still being kept without access to phones. To paraphrase someone from Nazi-occupied Europe, when they came and took the others, I didn't care. When they came to take me, there was no one left to care. I got this really disturbing letter from a good friend at the Center Street Free Space in Milwaukee. It seems there's a mining company with an incomprehensible name to match their incomprehensible mission. Gogebic Taconite. Doing what multi-billion dollar industries do, murder the planet. Gogebic Taconite, GTAC, sounds like a rapper, and is looking to make a quick buck harvesting low-grade iron ore. In the process, they'll pollute one of the Great Lakes. So instead of having five Great Lakes, like we used to have, we'll have three Great Lakes, one mediocre lake, and one really crappy one. Anyhow, some people with the courage to confront this multi-billion dollar murderer went to one of the mining sites to protest. Crow was one of them, it seems. In the confrontation, provoked by GTAC's irrational abuse of our world, there was a scuffle between GTAC employees and protesters. In the midst of it, it seems that one of the employees got scratched when the protester attempted to yank a camera out of the employee's hands. When the smoke cleared, Crow got arrested and was accused of misdemeanors related to the yanking on the camera, and later went to court, and probably expecting, reasonably, to pay some minor fine, right? Wrong. Law enforcement decided to charge her with felonies, assault, and robbery. Get this, Crow's now facing 18 years in prison. No kidding. Not only is she facing 18 years in prison for standing up to the real corporate criminals, but GTAC wants to sue her for $80,000. That's a hell of a camera. If I'm going to pay 80 grand for a camera, it had better be hanging off the gear shaft of my own personal time machine. In the wake of this, you've also got a local, quote, neighborhood association, unquote, blaming the anarchists at the Free Space for every petty instance of vandalism in the area, targeting the anarchists believed to be central to the stand against the mining industry. It all reads like the storyline to a Western, where a rogue hero comes in to save the day. Only GTAC is not an evil cattle rancher, and none of this ends with a shootout at high noon. This is real life in Milwaukee, the town that brought you, well, beer. It seems like we've seen this before. Corporations with an evil plot for profits. And when someone objects, the corporations enlist law enforcement as a weapon to exterminate any resistance, creating a repression machine, an ulterior use of the justice system. It's not the creation of a, quote, special law, unquote, to target anarchists so much as it is a, quote, special interpretation, unquote, of existing laws, applied to anarchists in a special way, not applied to everyone else. Where others face misdemeanors, Crow faces a number of felonies in 18 years. We're talking about government targeting anarchists in order to serve the interests of evil corporations that offer justice officials and lawmakers bribes and kickbacks and stock options. Then, as a final component, the corporations incite local business elites who will gain short-term profits from corporate success, and those elites harass the only ones who are standing up for the poor, the exploited, and the environment. The same thing is playing out everywhere. If you're an anarchist, you are under attack by global capitalists and government at every level, improving upon the blueprint of the FBI's COINTELPRO strategy. Likely, I'm preaching to the choir here. None of this is new. So my question is, what are we going to do about it? Are we just going to let them drag Crow away like they dragged away Murray Mason or Eric McDavid, Daniel McGowan, Jeremy Hammond, the NATO 5, Brandon, Connor, Doug, and Shelley of the Cleveland 4, Barrett Brown? How long does this list have to get? Does it have to include your name before we act? So a quick quiz before my segment ends. Click around. Where are Gogebic Taconite's home offices? Who are their CEO, COO, and EIEIO? What other companies are in business with them? What kind of internet security do you think they have? Where can you post this story so that hacktivists will find it? Okay, almost out of time. Some extra credit questions. How many anarchists need to converge on Milwaukee, and what do they have to do in order to make it too painful to drag away Crow? Sitting Bull once said, "It is not necessary for crows to become eagles." I think he was right. We don't need eagles. We need crows. We need thousands of crows. And that means we have to defend them all, by any means necessary. Down with GTAC. Free Crow now. This is Burst reading a statement by anarchist prisoner Sean Swain from Ohio's Supermax facility. If you can't hear the sound of his voice, you are the resistance. You can write to Sean Swain at Sean Swain number 243-205 OSP 878 Coitsville-Hubbard Road, Youngstown, Ohio 44505. To read some of Sean's writings and learn more about his case, check out seanswain.org. For more on the circumstances that Sean's talking about, check out our interview with Crow in July of 2013. You can find the archive at thefinalstrawradio.noblogs.org and search for KROW.
So we are here in Ljubljana, in Rock Factory, for the meeting of comrades from Slovenia and Bosnia that have participated in recent social mobilizations across the Balkans region. The meeting was called for by activists in Slovenia in order to open some questions and to share experiences about recent developments in Bosnia that has experienced its own particular wave of mass public unrest just a couple of months ago in February, when people rose against their local politicians and elites. A couple of regional governments fell, there was a lot of administrative buildings were destroyed, set on fire, there was a lot of authentic outbursts of rage, of people expressed their dissatisfaction, their impoverishment, etc. And naturally a lot of questions have opened for the movement, for the people that are active in this way or the other in this political upheaval. And in order to at least try to answer some of those questions, in order to find a way how to move forward, we gathered in Ljubljana so to speak with our friends.
With us is Hannah. Hannah, can you give us a short chronology of what was happening in Bosnia, how it starts?
Yeah, well, I have a few notes before the beginning. I'm from Mostar and I live in Sarajevo, so I have some sort of experience of both cities and protests and plenum sessions as well. This public unrest is actually a result of government not doing its job for the past 20 years, and the people rose against power. Only the problem with Bosnia is we have 3 different nationalities and 17 minorities which have been discriminated and systematically denied their rights during the last 20 years, and the problem with Bosnia and Herzegovina is that government officials and government in general in both entities doesn't recognize this as a socio-economic uprising, but as some sort of a nationalistic movement from each side. Whether it's from a Bosniak side, which is claimed to be in Republika Srpska, or it's some sort of a Serbs attacking Bosnian national integrity.
So how it starts? What was the trigger?
Well, it started as a working movement, as a movement of unsatisfied workers in Tuzla Canton, and we somehow in Sarajevo initiated this this peaceful meeting among 30 people in front of the government building of government of Canton Sarajevo, and it somehow rose into something bigger. You know, buildings, government buildings were set on fire, which is actually a great thing if you ask me, because they weren't able to hear us, that's for sure. For the past two decades, people in Sarajevo is hungry, they don't work, they have no jobs, they have no health insurance, they have nothing. And it's not just in capital, but I'm highlighting the example of the capital, so you could actually compare with other cities in Federation of Bosnia and Herzegovina, and not just in Federation, but in the second entity as well. Well, it started actually as workers' movement in Tuzla, and on 7th of February was some sort of a revolutionary event when Tuzla Canton, Sarajevo, which is the capital, Zenica and Mostar set on fire their government buildings, and the governments of four major cantons resigned, actually.
And also another process starts with the protest, process of plenums.
Yes, well, plenum is some sort of inevitable outcome of protests, since there were many, many people unsatisfied in the streets, and we had to articulate somehow our demands.
Can you describe maybe how the plenum starts, how many people went on plenums, how many plenums in Bosnia there was?
Well, so far we have 12 cities. I mean, 12 plenum sessions in 12 major cities in Bosnia and Herzegovina, and not just major cities, but also local communities as well. Well, plenum first started in Tuzla with workers and their demands, and it somehow happened in Sarajevo and Mostar as well. We were actually following the example of Tuzla, you know. We've had to create some sort of a public space for people who could come there and just, you know, talk about their demands. The first set of demands that was aimed before the government of Canton Sarajevo was actually resignation of the whole canton, and not just that, but federation as well. Also, we demanded termination of a process of criminalization of these people who were arrested and taken into custody during the demonstrations as well. So that's some sort of a priority, at least it was a priority during the February, after the burnings and everything else, riots, so-called riots. All our attention was actually focused and on these people to save them and take them from custody, because they were, some of them were severely beaten, and not to mention minors.
How many people approximately came on these plenums?
Well, first plenum in Sarajevo was pretty big, you know, like before the first actual plenum we tried to maintain some sort of a plenum, which was unsuccessful if you ask me, because we've had some space with 50 people, you know, while 300 people came minimum. So the first plenum session consisted of 100 people, of 1,000 people. And it was pretty amazing, you know, seeing those people talk into a microphone, some of them for the very first time, talking about their demands and about their situation, their living standard. And we somehow realized that it's the problem with the whole Bosnia-Herzegovina.
Also in other cities, the numbers were approximately the same?
Well, not the same, since we have, you know, you can't compare actually Sarajevo and Tuzla Canton with some local communities such as Zavidovići, Fojnica, etc. But it's very important that all these local communities are somehow mixed between nationalities. For example, we have a plenum sessions in Fojnica, which is mixed and very problematic environment, where Croats and Bosniaks live after the war, and it is very, very problematic. And now we have, you know, young Croats and young Bosnians and Herzegovinians going into local communities to talk to people about their wishes, their demands, critics, suggestions, etc. So it's been pretty successful, if you ask me.
So yeah, there is the issue of nationalism is quite important in the Bosnia, in the perspective that Bosnia is divided among the different nationalities.
Yes, so nationalism is some sort of a cancer for eating Bosnia and Herzegovina, if you ask me. So, because after, you know, 20 years after the war, people still have this negative connotation on different nationalities. But the very best thing about these protests is that people have finally forgotten their nationality, you know, and their vital national interest, because people are hungry. You know, we've had this banner during the protest, mass protests in Sarajevo on 9th of April, which said we are hungry in three languages, you know, Serbian, Bosnian and Croatian.
And you already mentioned this criminalization on the protests, and it was one of the main issues of your input in the of the plenums.
Yeah.
So can you maybe talk a little bit how many people are charged, what are action taken of the criminalization, what are the strategy of the government? Probably they want to suppress and show that you are just violent protester, or divide you among the violent protesters and peaceful protesters.
What they're trying to do, actually, politicians, is turn the story into some sort of a nationalistic strategy before the parliamentary elections. Second thing is media censorship. We've been suffering from this for I don't know how many years, you know, but these 2 months have been really, really problematic for all the people in the protests and plenum, since all the media, most of the media are regime media that follow directions by the government or some sort of leaders of political parties, etc. That was the core problem of people not joining protests and plenum sessions, because, you know, there's so many people that just watch TV, and if you watch TV, you're not gonna be able to differ between violent protesters and peaceful protesters that actually want to change something, you know. And the problem is this discrepancy in people's minds, discrepancy between plenum sessions and protests. Plenum sessions are somehow imagined as some sort of a normal way of communication among people, you know, it's more civilized way, while protests are considered to be a place where, I don't know, homeless people and drug addicts gather together to just, I don't know, provoke the government, you know, with music, food, coffee, etc. It's not that, it's that all people are hungry, you know. You have mixed structure of people in the protests and plenum sessions, which really makes me happy.
Actually, there was not so many people charged. If you're looking that, like, official building were burning, as I understand, it was around 50 people charged, and some charges are already overthrown.
Yeah.
and some people were released, and you are also protesting in front of the police station?
Around 45 people were arrested on 7th, 8th and 9th of February, and that was pretty problematic because most of them were minors, you know, who have been denied medical help and their legal representative, and even to call their parents. You know, they violated main principles, you know, not to be tortured, because these minors, and not just minors, have been severely beaten on their way to toilet. So the problem with these charges is that two people have been charged with the act of terrorism against the state, and these charges were dropped successfully, because there's no such thing, you know, as terrorism in Bosnia and Herzegovina, at least I do think that. Because these people who set those buildings on fire were absolutely right, you know, I'd do the same. I stood there and I was really amazed, and I've never been happier in my life, you know, to see those fucking buildings burn to the ground, you know, because they haven't been doing anything in the past 20 years, you know. And the funny thing is that this official report stated that the 7.5 million km is going to take the government to fix those buildings. You know,
KM it's 7.5 million. Marks.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. It's maybe 3,700,000 of euros. So it's not like that, actually. You know. They also have this. They've also had this very, very severe report on the archive, state archive, and how the demonstrators and people protesting actually burned the whole archive, which is not true.
It's amazing.
You know. Yes. Yes. I mean, they're literally playing on this nationalistic card. You know, when you have the building of presidency that was actually kept safe during the war 1992 till 1995, and that was actually the main problem, because what they said to these people who set those buildings on fire was actually crazy and so stupid that you can't even imagine. You know, they were comparing these children with Chetniks. You know, the Chetniks didn't do this to us. You know, the presidency building was kept safe during the war, you know, and you set it on fire. Well, yeah, you should somehow get the message right, you know, if you ask me. You should realize that no other countries are a threat to your own safety, you know, but it's your people, because government should be should be afraid of its people, definitely.
I agree with you. Maybe yeah. We could talk about what is happening now. It is the process, and the process is still evolving. There is maybe not so much protests, but there are still plenums and some actions. So what are the main issues, main problems, and what are maybe perspectives for the future?
Yeah, well, if we compare the situation in the neighboring countries, and not just neighboring countries, but I mean European continent, most of the governments respond to the people, unsatisfied people, with the words, okay, what are your demands? The problem in Bosnia and Herzegovina is that we have so many demands that we can't even articulate them in the right way, you know, because you have a large amount of demands by workers, and not just workers, by cultural workers, by educational sector, professors are unsatisfied with the program, etc. Students, pensioners, single parents, etc. So what are we going to do now is try to terminate this media censorship, which we somehow successfully did by coming to Slovenia, you know, to talk with people, with our neighbors, about the actual situation in Bosnia and Herzegovina, because that's what they've been trying to do for the past 2 months, you know, just block all the media, block all the old news spreading. It's actually very similar as in Turkey, you know. They haven't banned social networks yet. But the problem is that they control most of the media, so they control actually their critical electoral body, because we have parliamentary elections in October, and what they're trying to do now is to turn this into a nationalistic card and police repression as well.
Hey, what about in plenums? Are there some, you know, how to cooperate with all these different people? Probably there are some individuals, maybe some informal groups, maybe some NGOs. What are the problems? How do you cooperate
well,
with each other?
We have a small number. I'd say it's a small number by now, you know, 2 months after, of infiltrated people from political parties, or they're just sympathizers of political parties, but it's not good for the reputation of plenum sessions, because we actually banned those people from coming, and as citizens, they could come as citizens, but the problem was when they were actually, you know, talking on the microphone about how some political party is good. No, we banned that, and that's good thing. We're going to try to block the elections, parliamentary elections in October, and plenum sessions are actually meant for the people who try to change something and not just talk. And we have, so far, we've had three thematic plenums. One was about education, one was about culture, another was about all this health insurance system and how the health works in Bosnia and Herzegovina, because we have so many corrupted and politically affiliated doctors. And I mean, a building of a hospital building, and the whole hospital is directed by the wife of the major political party, you know, by the wife of the man who is actually a member of presidency, which is behind the nationalistic party in Bosnia and Herzegovina, Party of Democratic Action. So yeah, that's the problem. When we're going to try, we have so many demands and so many problems that we are actually going to try to do it from the bottom, you know. Because to dethrone those in power, we have to start, you know, by little steps, step by step. We'll try to change something in the education system system as well.
So, when you will come back to Bosnia, how you think, how you develop this movement from below?
Well, what we're going
to So what is your
do,
wish
I
in
think,
how it would yeah. develop?
Well, we're definitely going to talk to people about what happened in Slovenia with our comrades from Slovenia, and what we'll try to do is some sort of minor actions. You know, we've had this action on 6th of April. That was the day when Sarajevo was set free by partisans in 1945, and what are we trying to do now is to somehow manage to organize some sort of event for the 1st of May and for the 9th of May as well, when it's you know, anti-fascist. It's 9th of May is actually a symbol of anti-fascist struggle. Yeah.
So plenums are coordinating.
They're not
and
permanent.
What,
that's for sure. They're not permanent, and they can't be some sort of a perpetual device to defeat the politics. That's for sure. Because we need action, and people in plenum, they're willing to do stuff, you know, but most of the people actually consider it to be some sort of a psychotherapy, you know, because it's a space for people who come single parent mother, you know, or some worker from, I don't know, from mines, and he comes there and I want to change things, I will set myself on fire if something doesn't change, you know. It's pretty problematic because people consider it to be some sort of psychotherapy, and what it's needed to be done is that people actually take themselves serious, you know, and stop hoping for the international community to intervene. Last week I went to protest and I saw American flag, you know, some of the protesters, people protesting brought American flag, and he was walking with the banner Obama help us. I mean, we fucking need to realize that nobody's fucking going to help us at all. You know, we have to be the change we want to see in the world. I know it's a cliche, but Bosnians and Herzegovinians really need to get out of the box. And that box is called, oh, look outside, the, you know, because in the box there's international community and there's Obama that's going to help us. No, it didn't happen during the last war. It's not going to happen now, especially now when we have people actually rising. So, yeah, that's it. I wish something could change, yeah.
Hey, maybe the last question, how do you like the
process,
how do you see the response of European Union when it was this uprising? It was like, because on one hand you have Ukraine that was happening at the same time, and European Union was cheering for these nationalists there, and now in Bosnia it was opposite. They were saying that people have calmed down.
I mean, Ukraine is highlighted only because of Russia, to be honest, because Russia is ready to defeat the whole European Union, if you ask me, for its sovereignty and for its territory. So the question why Bosnia hasn't been highlighted, or why isn't it now highlighted, you know, as some sort of, oh, it's the first uprising of people in the past 20 years after the war, and it doesn't have nationalistic connotation, because they don't want that. It's not in their best interest, believe me. We have high representative who earns tens of thousands of euros a month. I think it's 24,000 euros, but I'm not sure. Anyways, he hasn't earned 1 month's salary, like, never. You know, it's not in his interest that people are, you know, up against the government and together, which is the main problem of politicians here. We have a case in Mostar where, you know, after the war, it's the first time for people actually together to, from the West and from the East. It's not in their best interest, you know, because they want to continue with this nationalistic and war propaganda. You know, it's going to be a war if you go out with a Croat guy, you know, and hold a banner with him together. No, it's not going to happen. We can only, you know, ask for the better future by doing that.
The rest of this episode is metal and punk music, mostly from recent releases. First off, here's Agalic from Portland, Oregon with Dark Matter Gods on their most recent album, The Serpent and the Sphere.
Thank you. efter växer hon upp och vissnar bort. Hon flyr såsom skuggan och har intet bestånd.
We'll be right back.
We just heard Regnum Animale from Stockholm, Sweden, with the song Entropy from their brand new Eponymous album. The next track after that was Witch Mountain from Portland, Oregon, with the song Veil of the Forgotten from their album Cauldron of the Wild. Right now you're hearing Act of Impalement from Nashville, Tennessee, with the song Heathen Omens from their album Echoes of War. Heard Bluntished from Berlin, Germany. The track is called 60 Euros, and it's from their self-titled 2014 album. Last up is another band from Berlin called Angst. This track is from their split with the Czech band Smutečný Slavnost, and the song is called Shallow. Enjoy. We'll be right back. AshevilleFM.org, soon to be WSFM, 103.3 LPFM in Asheville, North Carolina. This is The Final Straw, and I'm Bursts. The show can also be heard on the KWTF in Bodega Bay and KXCF in Marshall, California, as well as KOWALP in Olympia, Washington, and WCRSLP in Columbus, Ohio. Archives of the show can be found at our website at thefinalstrawradio.noblogs.org, and we can be reached at thefinalstrawradio@riseup.net.